You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to know your lane.
It's just happened too many times.
Go
where
for
I
it.
Finally said no thanks.
Well, you're hanging out in a lot of lines these days with old people.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
I used to rock this tune in every convertible I ever owned. I used to have this Jeep Renegade top down.
I picture you as Wasega Beach guy.
No, the loser that cruises up and down.
Just goes around the circle at Wasega Beach. 7-8 hours in a row without stopping. The only reason they stop is they run out of gas. Seven guys packed into a Honda Civic.
You know where you get those creepazoids? Yorkville. The Lambos, the Ferraris, they just cruise. Like, we get it. You got a Ferrari.
Right. That's the richer, more obnoxious Wasega Beach.
Yeah, the Wasega Beach is the Corvette with the dice.
Oh, it's not even that high of a level of car.
And the little mini beard, the little...
It's always 17, 18, 19-year-old
the
guys.
Greaser beard?
I used to go to Wasega Beach all the time because my best friend had a cottage like 10 minutes away from there.
The white Under Armour flip-flops?
Well, the best was how many guys
kits.
How many guys would get stuffed into a small car? Like a Mazda whatever fits four people uncomfortably, yet somehow they have like seven guys and yelling at every single girl. And
Don't you have to be selective when you blast the stereo, like the type of song? Like, do you ever get self-conscious when you have the music pumping and you have a certain song on that maybe, I don't know, what's that song for you, Jeff? Do you have like
right
a song?
Now?
Yeah, like that maybe, like if you pull up to a light and you're bumping it and you're like, maybe I should turn this down because it doesn't seem.
I went through a bit of a Taylor Swift stage.
Okay, that's a great example.
And I would crank that stuff. And you had to turn it down at a stoplight. Because you don't want to be belting that out. Because your man card's up in the air.
Well, where are you doing that, though? If you're on the 401, it doesn't really matter, right?
401 is just fair game.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but he's saying you come up to a light and you turn it right down.
Right. I don't know if I've ever been in that position. Like, do you really get that? Who cares? I don't know.
I think you do. You don't like. Let's say you were listening to Taylor Swift.
He doesn't even acknowledge other people are alive when he leaves this building, right? Have you ever seen this guy around other people?
Clearly not.
What's that supposed to mean?
You're just weird with people. You don't like people. Like you like me and Jonas and Noodles and Steph and Mark, but you get outside of this place, you're always like, I don't want to talk to that guy. I don't want to see that guy or anybody. You don't like, you're weird around people. You're weird.
I'm a weird guy around people.
Get Steph on. Steph, is this guy not weird around other people?
Steph's calling Ray right now.
You're weird around people.
Okay, explain that, though.
I don't know.
Way?
You tell me. What, do you have
I don't
a
know.
Phobia
you're the,
or something?
You're the one diagnosing me with this personality disorder, so you break it down for me. What makes me so weird about around other people?
You just don't want to deal with other people that you don't really, if you don't know people, or you have to be very comfortable with someone to engage in a conversation. You meeting new people is a disaster. Disaster.
It's not generally high on my priority list, yeah. But I can do it. I can force it, but I'll admit I'm not, you know, single guy at the bar making friends with everyone. I'm flying to a resort by myself.
See,
and I'm going to come home with friends.
You have choice when you want to be the blab or the talker.
I'm a little bit the same. Like when I'm sitting on a plane.
Oh, this guy at a work Christmas party, he thinks he's just God and he commands. He like starts. It's like a dance circle.
Oh, here we go now.
It is. It's like, you know, the dance circle where the guy's dancing with the good dance moves and everybody circles around. That's the environment.
What's wrong with that?
That's the one you create with your.
With what? So you're contradicting yourself. So now all of a sudden I am a man of the people when I'm at
only
Christmas
if you
parties.
Know him. Only if you know him.
Okay, yeah, I'll admit. I think that's probably human nature. I'm more comfortable around people I know.
I've had people in this building say you're weird. You're weird. Like, what's wrong with that, Brian? Is he weird?
All right, name names. Who said that?
Rod Smith.
There's no way Rod Smith
has
said
that. You know what the funniest
thing
about Rod Smith?
There's no chance Rod has said that.
Look,
there's no way.
The funniest thing is you came up to me one day and you're like, Rod's weird around me. I don't know really what kind of vibe to give off. The next day, Rod comes up to me and goes, is Brian okay? He's kind of weird around. I'm like, both of these guys must be nuts.
Maybe we're spirit animals. Maybe we're the exact same. Because Rod's got a big presence. He's a big guy. He's been here for like 30 years.
He said, whenever I'm walking by Brian in the hallways, he like puts his head down and he like cowers.
That's not
away.
True. You know what ends up happening here? No, this is what happens. No. There is a long corridor here where it gets awkward when you're walking towards people, but it's like a 30-second buffer before
like they're
you
really
get
far,
to them.
Right?
Right. So what am I going to do? Stare down Rod for 30 seconds just to prove that everything's all good? How would you have me handle that?
Put your head down and you don't even acknowledge
that. That's not true. I'll put my head down, you know, 20, 30 paces away. Once I get within 5 paces, head up. Hey, Rod, how you doing?
Right.
Maybe a stop and chat. Maybe just a wave and a see you later. I don't know.
I have a good test. When you're sitting on a plane and the person next to you starts talking.
No interest in that.
Same. Jeff, are you one of those people who if the guy...
I don't want to talk to people.
So who are you kidding? You're the exact same way as I am.
I'm just talking about on a plane. I don't want to talk like...
Or on a train.
Wow.
Or on a train.
Well,
there have been some
New
incidents.
Balance flexes.
Listen, I'm not saying I'm the most gregarious guy in the world when I'm walking into a bar or I'm at a party with different people or at a wedding in which, you know, I'm the plus one and I don't know that many people. But I'll never be rude to anybody.
No, it's just
I am not rude to anybody. I have no enemies. I really don't. I mean that genuinely. I do not have issues with really anybody. But I'm not going out of my way to create all these new friendships. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't either. When someone starts talking to me on a plane, I'm just like, yeah, okay, and then put your headphones back.
Right. Like, I'll engage to an extent, but then once I feel like there's an opening for me to say, thank you, there's a reason I downloaded the podcast, I intend on listening
to it
for the next 3 years.
It's a good way to get out of any kind of convo is the earphones.
See, you're a different cat, though. You make friends with people in the strangest scenarios. Like, you make friends with people in your building... Which, I don't know why.
Oh, like elevator chat?
Yeah, like you'll create friendships with people. You'll
like
go to the bar and you'll be friends with people, and you'll bring people golfing that you kind of know but don't really know.
See, you're not into that game.
Golfing is the last resort for me.
Well, that's a 5-hour commitment.
It's the most intimate sport. You're barely swinging. Like, let's be honest. You swing 85 times, 90 times. So over the course of 4.5 hours, if you're there with someone that you don't really know, you know, that's a long breaking of the ice.
Oh, there's nothing worse. Like, being an athlete, you have to do all these charity functions. And if you get stuck with that guy for 5 hours, your day is ruined. Day is ruined.
All right. We'll bring in a guy who's worse than me in these situations. Wouldn't you say I'm more of a man of the people than Ray? Will you grant me that or no?
You're both...
All right, here's Ray Ferraro and Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Hi, Ray.
I disagree with your evaluation.
I don't.
I could get through the front nine.
With someone you don't know?
But the front nine.
Would you take like an exit and just say you got to go or you're not feeling good? Or
No, then I just start walking on the other side of the fairway.
It really
honestly,
drives me nuts. It really does.
If it is a question-a-thon through the first nine holes, I'm like, I don't know how many yards wide this fairway is, but I am going to be walking over there even if I got to cross all the way back to hit my ball.
And I think that's where people, they get, I don't know if it's nervous, but it's, I literally got, when I got older, I was like, do you really need to ask me this many questions? Like, can't we just have a casual conversation? It's got to be like, who's the toughest guy in the league? Who's the best player you ever played against? Like, like, you can kind of casually ease into that stuff as opposed to just rapid fire where you're getting peppered.
You're halfway down the first tee, the guy's asked 11 questions, or the first fairway. You're like, oh my God, seriously, pal. And I think it's nerves, though, more than anything. I think, don't you think, they're just excited. But you're like, oh, God, we got 5 hours left. And if you get stuck in the cart, although they might think that about me, too. If you're in a cart with somebody for 5 hours, you are, that is a hostage-taking situation right there.
Right. Like, you guys are in very different situations because you're pro athletes. You played in the league for a long time. And that's why I could see why the nerves would be there for someone that either is playing in the charity event with you or somehow got, you know, affiliated with the threesome or the foursome that you're playing with. But it's totally different when they don't know who you are and it just doesn't connect. And you're on the first green and you're like, I can't believe we have 17 more. Like, right. We got 17 more. I don't know how we're going to get through this round.
I've been asked, I'm not even exaggerating, I bet you 25 times I've been asked since we started doing this show, off the record, what's O like? And so I say, well, you realize the whole day is off the record, right? Like, we're playing golf. Like, there's no record.
Like, well, he's going to write it down.
Yeah, like, what do they think is happening here? And I'm like, I don't know. He's a good guy. He's what he is on the radio. Like, what? I don't know. That's old, right? Like, I don't know. Like, what are you going to do? Some guy you met 3 minutes ago say, oh, yeah, and you should see this. And then sometimes he wears mismatched this. Or I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. You're like, what the hell am I going to tell you for? I don't even know who you are.
Right.
I saw Gretzky in L.A., and I felt for him, like, the questions that guy just must get repeatedly. I don't know.
And he's
I don't so envy
gracious.
That. Right.
Hey, he's so gracious. It's really quite amazing. You know, can you imagine how many people say to him, they go up to him and, you know, Gord tells this story about when he was 23 years old, he interviewed Gretzky and he was so nervous and he got 5 points in the game and he was standing there for his one-on-one and he went, good game. And Wayne was like, thanks. Like, that's all he could come up with. He was so nervous. Do you imagine how many people go up to Wayne and say, because they're nervous, hey, you're the greatest player ever. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, you just blurt something out, right? Because it's one of those moments where you probably know you're never going to see him again, and you have to say something. You have to.
Yes.
Right? You have to be able to walk away and say, I told Gretzky I love him, or he's the greatest, or...
I remember I had to go to this golf tournament, and then we went to the bar after. And I was with Rick DiPietro, not Rick DiPietro. Who's the DiPietro that played in
Paul?
Paul, yeah.
Yep.
And Adam Oates was in the bar. And I'm like, this is my first chance to go up and kind of shoot the breeze with Adam Oates. And just before I stuck out my hand to introduce myself, I tripped on a stool, and I fell backwards flat on my back. And I just got up, and I'm like... This is done. It was so embarrassing.
You can't follow through.
You can't.
You've ruined it. The ice is, it can't be chipped away at. You can never break that ice.
I would say of the times that I'd like to take back, there's no time I was more of a bigger jackass than unintentionally. We were in Mexico. We were on vacation. And I look over, and I don't even know the guy's name, but the guy that played Shooter McGavin, in the Happy Gilmore movie, he was there with his family. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go say hi to him. But I, like a dummy, I don't know how many years ago this was. I was still playing. But, like, I don't even know his name. And so
you
I
just do
there,
Shooter.
Like, that's
Shooter.
What I said. I'm like, hey, Shooter, how you doing?
Oh, that stinks.
And he's like, he looked at me like, are you an idiot? Like, well, that's all. Because I had nothing to say.
Right.
Hey, nice try on the putt on 18. Like, what am I going to say? I really liked your work in Happy Gilmore. Like, I felt like an idiot. And he looked at me, and I think we talked for 11 seconds, and then I moved on. And I'm like, wow, you just are a jackass.
Well, that's why in Hollywood they hate being typecast, right? Like, if you get connected with one character, that is who you're going to be called in public for the rest of your life. Like, every time Jason Alexander is in public, people yell Costanza at him. Everyone calls him Costanza. Who's going to say, hey, Jason, I really liked you in Seinfeld. You're George. You will always be George.
It could be worse, though. You could be, speaking of Seinfeld, you could be the guy, Newman.
Right.
Everywhere you go, hello, Newman.
That would get so aggravating so quickly, wouldn't it? You'd just
freak out.
I've been in
Hollywood for 30 years, and all I am is a guy that steps in the door in a postal uniform.
Right. I mean, he was in Jurassic Park. This guy was in, he's been in big movies. He was in Space Jam. Wayne Knight. Call him Wayne, please. Do not call him Newman. But it happens.
Why do I think his family calls him Newman?
I guess you'd have to, wouldn't you? After a while, at least that like obnoxious piss tank cousin, you know, he shows up every year and just bugs him and calls him Newman and thinks he's funny.
But he probably can't literally go anywhere. Go to the restaurant. Hello, Newman.
You'd have to.
Go to the airport.
I know, I would say it. Like, I
would.
I'm being critical of that whole scene right now. I think I would just naturally do it. It's like a bodily function. If I saw him, I'd call him Newman. I'd have to call him Newman. I'd have to.
Anyway. You wouldn't be the one guy calling him Wayne.
No, I don't think I would. Although maybe that would be a way into the inner circle. In a weird way, like reverse psychology. I wonder if he'd be like, don't give me the Wayne thing as if I'm going to now invite you into my life. Call me Newman and let's move on with this.
Well, okay, so you know what would happen? You'd get there and freeze and call him neither.
Right.
You'd have nothing. You'd
Wayman.
Be like,
I'd call him Wayman. Hi, Wayman.
I'm a professional broadcaster, Wayman.
And I walked the other way like a complete doofus. Anyway. We were talking about the Leafs in 35 games and 69 nights, which is just an incredible run. And we all conceded Anderson has got to be the MVP over the final 69 nights. But putting him aside, who has to be their MVP? Who's that next guy in line for you?
Are you pouring hot chocolate or what?
Oh, you... background noises really piss you off, eh?
What was that?
It was really loud, this one. What was that?
No, it wasn't. It says, you're going to laugh.
You're either Christmas taking light. A piss or you're pouring a giant
no,
cup
no,
of
no.
coffee.
No, no, no. I'm moving today. I don't have time to talk to you jackasses. So I'm multitasking. So I haven't quite got the Christmas lights down. I mean, it's only February. So I was dragging them from the backyard to the front, and unfortunately I went over a chunk of concrete, which is what you heard.
Okay.
Because you didn't hear the first 100 yards, I'm telling you.
No,
I got
didn't.
Through unscathed.
Interesting.
That was not concrete.
No, I'm not sure I'm buying
it is,
that either.
Listen to this.
We all conceded Anderson has got to be the MVP over the final 69 yeah. nights, but
it sounded like Predator.
You're right, it is loud, and it is a it's the front walk with like some stone thingamajiggy.
Look at like this guy, Griswold. We're talking to Clark Griswold right now.
He's falling out of a tree.
Look, I'm the only guy here. Everything is at the house we're moving into, and I was basically left behind as the cleaning crew.
So how miserable are you right now?
Oh, I'd rather be here than there.
Really?
Oh, I don't even want to know what's going on over there.
Yeah, I guess you're right. That's setting everything up and getting into the appropriate rooms. And
the best part is I leave at 5 a.m. tomorrow to go to St. Louis. So by the time I come back, mostly everything will be done.
Okay. Well, that's not bad.
I thought it was good strategy.
Yeah, that's probably a smart move.
But to answer your question, I'm going to say Morgan Rielly.
That's what I said. These guys said Matthews.
See, I don't think their defense is good enough to not have him be an elite performer to make it. Like, I think he's got to be able to handle whatever they start throwing at him, because somehow, if they get in here and they're right down to the nitty-gritty stuff, you know, they're into the last 15 or 20 games, and man, they're still in it, you might get some big minutes for Rielly. You know, like, they might start leaning on him more. And I think he's capable of it. And he's their best guy. They can't have substandard or average play from him. They're just not good enough back there.
Yeah, I agree with you. The way that they've scored as a committee, I think they can overcome Austin Matthews coming back to earth a little bit. And I expect Matthews to continue at a similar pace to the one he's at anyway. But if he drops off a little bit over the final 35 games, I think Kadri, Bozak can carry that a little bit. I think Marner, Nylander, JVR can supply offense. On the back end, you're just not getting that missed production from Martin Marincin or Matt Hunwick. You're not getting it. There's no way.
And it doesn't seem like there's going to be, you know, the vision of that some of us have of, man, go get yourself a top four defenseman. The cost or the immediacy of the cost doesn't seem to be what they want to do. And so we've seen when Rielly's out of the lineup how thin that blue line looks. And, you know, you can get by for a day or two or a game or two or three, but then when you get pushed into a matchup you don't like, there's just nobody to there's nobody to step into that role. And it's not even that, you know, you always hear, oh, this guy's got to step up. Well, sometimes you just can't. You're just not, that's not what you are. And that's what I think their defense is without Morgan in full health and playing at a really high level.
So, Ray, are you saying you think they should go out and pay a little bit of a price and get help?
If the deal, this is why I say so. If somebody's willing to move a player that you really like, I think so. Because you might be in the best spot right now to make that deal, and come the off season, you might have two or three competitors.
So you're talking about Shattenkirk, no?
Not necessarily, no. Like,
does it need to be someone that's under contract, or?
Well, if it's not, I wouldn't be paying. I mean, I'm not paying a rental with somebody like Nylander or somebody like that. Like, that's not even a thought. You know, if you're looking at a player that's in that age group, if Anaheim decides to move one of their younger defensemen, they decide they need a forward, and you could put a deal together, that would be something I'm interested in. I don't think they can go ahead and get into a deal that involves Shattenkirk, because I'm not talking about just this playoff, Jonas. I'm talking about something that helps them now plus in the future. Because the money that Shattenkirk is going to look for, the cap looks fine, and yes, guys are coming off the cap, but you're going to get in a spot here in 2 years with Marner and Matthews if they're the way that you think they are. Like, what do you think Austin Matthews is signing for coming out of his entry level deal?
11.
Yeah, like you're instantly cap crunched.
Well,
right away,
and then Marner's going to get 8, and then Nylander's going to get 6 or 7 or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and then you're 2 years away from Morgan Rielly re-upping. You know, you got to find Gardner somewhere in there, too. I don't know what he's got left. He got 2 years left. You know, like, all of a sudden, signing a player like Shattenkirk, who I don't view as a top pair guy that you can play against everybody. I don't think that's what he is. He's a terrific power play guy, like a really good power play guy. He's not a great skater. He's kind of okay, better than okay defensively. But, man, I wouldn't be blowing up my salary cap for him. Like, that's, you know, somebody's going to way overpay, I think, for Shattenkirk. And I don't think Toronto has to do it. Not for just a couple of months. And then with what they've got coming down the road, I think they've, you know, it's no news, really. But I think you've got to be really, really careful that when you're sitting there with that whiteboard in front of you with all the contract status, it gets crowded in 2 years in a hurry.
You got to be very careful. Every cent counts. And Bob McKenzie, he released his midterm draft rankings today. And what a difference a year makes. This time last year, that's all we were focused on here. We were playing the lottery game every single day on the show and talking about who the Leafs will take if they pick first, second, third, fourth, fifth, what have you. Now people are simply focused on the games, and that's a good thing. That's a positive. Tonight's a big game. The final 35 games are a big game. But do not lose sight, I'm talking to Leaf fans here, of the importance of drafting. And I would argue it almost becomes more important now because it's easy to pick Matthews first overall. It's easy to pick Mitch Marner fourth overall. He was the best available talent in the top five.
Chicago, they just keep getting guys to
come
in.
That's what I'm saying. Who are you getting at 20? Who are you getting in the second, third, fourth round?
As soon as guys start getting paid, guys are going to have to start leaving.
JVR is going to have to walk more than likely. Bozak's going to walk. Komarov's going to walk. You're going to have two defensive positions available at the end of the year when Pollock and Hunwick more than likely walk. This is where the drafting really has to be focused, and you got to hit some home runs over the next 3 or 4 years.
And this is one other thing that I can add to that. And you know, I hear a little bit when I mention this, I hear from people about, you know, oh, it's not just luck. Of course, it's not just luck. But when you're bad, like Colorado is this year, and the draft is like this, that's bad timing. That is bad luck. When we had the first pick in Atlanta, the draft, you weren't getting the Sedins because Vancouver had one of the picks and they weren't going to move it. So they ended up with both Daniel and Henrik with Brian Burke, made that terrific deal on the draft floor. We got Patrick Steffen. I mean, that was just the cards. That's who was available at number one of that year. And so this year it looks like it's Nolan Patrick. And everything that I hear, he's a really good player, but nobody's talked about him in the sense of a generational player, which the last couple of years have had. And so that's just, there's good and bad luck, and that's bad luck for the teams drafting at the top.
Yep, no question. Imagine if the Leafs stalled and waited one more year, held on to Phil and Dion and brought Lupo back, and everyone was here for one more year last year, and they picked fifth. And then this year was the year they're like, all right, let's really reload and blow up and go for it. And Matthews was playing in
Edmonton
or Winnipeg or Columbus or wherever right now. How jealous Maple Leaf fans would be. And
I'd quit this job.
They'd be freaking out. People would be freaking out. Everything
came
together.
Honestly, if they didn't get Matthews last year, I would have handed in my resignation.
Really?
What were we going to talk about?
You, the best part about you, O, is you're a smooth sailor. You know, like the rough, choppy waters. You don't get emotional. I like that.
I don't. I quit.
He quits before he gets emotional.
Yes. You know, hey, I don't allow myself to get emotional.
We all love O on the air, and we get to laugh and giggle away. There's nothing more entertaining. We should have an O cam when we're sitting around with our thumb in our ear on trade deadline day.
No way.
There might not be anything more entertaining. We got to do, how long are we here? Oh, it's 10 o'clock.
Well, I started taking matters into my own. I just leave on my own and go for my own little breaks. Nobody even notices.
Every once in a while, someone will go, hey, and we've all started doing it because you're there for an eternity. Hey, where's so-and-so? I don't know. I just got up and walked away.
There's another guy always sitting there waiting. That's the best part, behind the scenes.
Pitch in another guy.
Right. There's 15 different analysts there. They can find a panel, I think, if need be. Anyway.
We can get it done. I know we can.
Well, it's going to get worse and worse. I mean, who the hell's... What, is there going to be two trades this year?
I don't know. I think by the in a month, there'll be a few more teams that'll have gone kaput. And, well, maybe I'm just hoping. I don't know.
I think you're right.
There better be more.
There better be more.
It's a long day. We can't start complaining about it already, though.
No, we got to save that for about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll do that at the end of the month. All right, man.
Okay,
enjoy it out there.
I got to go sweep, man.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, buddy.
Later.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca.
I just got a tweet saying, Hayes is the type of guy who judges people on their number of Twitter followers. What do you think about that?
I had someone take a run at me earlier because of what I said about LeBron James, him talking about the credibility of Charles Barkley. And I said, it's not as if Barkley's a guy on Twitter with four followers. That's the truth. If people don't know who you are, and you're just a regular Joe, in terms of the NBA world and NBA players taking your opinion into consideration, you don't have credibility.
People ask me about Twitter, and they're like, what do I do with it? And I'm like, probably nothing. Like you said, if you got four followers, what?
It's not even about that. It doesn't mean you can't have your opinions or an objective opinion or a smart opinion. LeBron James isn't going to care, is my point. LeBron James cares about Charles Barkley's opinion.
My point is,
doesn't
if you got four
care
followers,
about,
you're using Twitter for instant information.
Right.
You're
and
not
it's
blasting
a great,
out hot takes every day, and you're going to get people's attention.
It's a great apparatus for that. For you to be able to track what's going on in the world, there is no better social media app out there than Twitter. But that's what I'm saying. When, in the eyes of LeBron James and athletes and politicians, I don't think they're too worried about the millions of people on Twitter that aren't public figures or aren't on the same level as them. That's what I'm pointing out.
Why do you think people don't like him so much? I don't get it.
I don't get it either, Jonas. I really don't. Like, I'm looking at people texting in right now. Some guy sending a text. Tell Hayes about all those times LeBron got carried off the court for cramping. Couldn't win without going to Miami.
That was literally one game.
And generally acts like the game owes him something. Really? LeBron is a blank. He bakes Halloween cakes of the opposite teams. I don't even know what that means.
That's the Golden State thing.
Oh,
remember
right.
At their Halloween party, they had something about 3-1 down.
And they won that series. Why can't he troll a little bit? Someone else texting, LeBron is a whiny baby who loves himself. I don't know why people hate LeBron, but they do. I don't think it helps that a lot of the biggest shooters in the media game are constantly taking runs at the guy. He is the player of the generation, arguably the greatest player of all time. No one has taken more criticism than him. Nobody.
Do you think 10 years from now we'll talk about him like we talk about Jordan now, where he's just like this reverential figure that nobody will say anything bad about?
I think it will get better with time. I think his legacy will improve with time, which is ludicrous considering what he's already done. But time usually heals. We got a great giveaway that we're getting to again this afternoon.
Bob Barker, go for it.
It's a Maple Leaf game day, and TSN 1050 is giving away a Toronto Maple Leaf prize pack. And the prize pack includes a Maple Leaf jersey, Maple Leaf t-shirt, and a Maple Leaf hat. Watch for our text to win giveaway coming up later in the 6 p.m. hour.
No tickets, just the jersey, the hat,
and a t-shirt. So we got a lot of things here we're doing Leaf-related today. So tune in at 6. We'll let you know what number to text into. What kind of details come along with that text? Give yourself a chance to win a prize pack. Sound good?
I love a prize pack.
Love a prize pack. We got to get Rod Smith in here. That rattles my cage that Rod thinks I'm weird.
He said you're just weird, yeah. And then 2 days later, you said he was weird.
I never said Rod was weird.
You were like, I get a weird vibe walking by Rod.
No, I said Rod.
And then 2 days later, he's like, that Brian Hayes is weird as hell. Rod, I'm like,
Rod's got a bigger than life presence, is my point.
Steph remembers.
There are not a lot of people that I. It's not an intimidation,
said,
but it's,
that
hey, that's Rod Smith.
Brian
he's
Hayes
a legend.
Normal. Every time I see him, he puts his head down.
Is that true, Steph?
He doesn't even acknowledge.
Is that true, Steph? Like, did Rod Smith actually ask, is Brian Hayes normal?
He was actually just, I think, asking if you didn't like him. Oh, if I remember correctly.
Why would I not like Rod the Bot?
Because you give off a weird vibe.
He didn't ask if you were normal or antisocial. He just thought that
he thought
Brian
there was something wrong with you.
All right, so always putting words in his mouth.
We're not getting Rod in here because then you're going to be putting me under the gun for ratting both of you out.
Well, he's got better things to do anyway. He's on SportsCenter in a half an hour, but.
He thinks you're weird, and okay. A lot of people do. They're like, they get a weird vibe off of you.
Steph, did you ever go to Wasega Beach?
Hell yeah.
And as a girl, what was that like? The guys driving around in the Mazda Miatas?
It was a meat market.
It was incredible, wasn't it? No shirts.
For some reason, we just loved that scene when we were teenagers.
Yeah, because you're a creep yourself.
You went up there a lot with the girls?
Not overly, but we went enough times that we remember the scene well.
Right. There's an Italian contingent up there on Wasega Beach.
Now I can't go anywhere near there. I'll go as close as Blue Mountain, and that's it.
Right. Yeah, I haven't been to Wasega in a long time. It's a younger person's kind of hangout.
We would look so lame there now.
Yeah,
we'd
I don't
be
think
yelling
we'd
at the
it.
People to like lower the music, stop drinking on the beach.
Right.
Yeah, we'd be those guys.
Our minivan wouldn't go over so well anymore. Anyway, we'll get back into LeBron. Tom Brady asked about the political scene, threw up the Heisman, said no thank you, rather not go down that road. Touch on that. And Trent Dilfer just after 6 p.m. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Maple Leaf lineup. Player of the day. This week, we're giving away tickets to see the Leafs take on Buffalo February 11th down at the ACC. The theme this week, very confusing theme, former Maple Leafs currently playing on teams that the O-Dog and or Noodles played for. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Carl Gunnarsson in St. Louis. And, of course, Noodles spent a few years as a member of the Blues. So today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Carl Gunnarsson. I'm going to get to Adjua and a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update in a little bit. Did you hear me just chop up my throw?
Here's Overdrive.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update. Here's Overdrive. Here's Adjua. I hate that throw, man.
You hate it. That's the only thing you ever butcher.
It's the only thing, really.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to believe I'm pretty smooth for the most part.
Everything else.
I chop that up so bad two or three times an afternoon.
Well, how many times are you doing that in a week? You're bound to screw it up.
I'm doing it 4 times an hour. I'm doing it 12 times a show, 60 times a week?
So,
but it's a very, it's the same thing every time. Time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update.
Here's Adjua. Enseyebois.
I think that's actually pretty close to her last name.
Enseyebois. And you refuse to say it.
People have gotten on me
I'll
before.
I'll throw to it next time.
People have gotten on it on me before for not saying her last name, but yeah, out of respect to her.
30 under at the no balls open.
I don't want to chop it up. Like, I've got Adjua down. I'm saying her first name. I don't want to disrespect her last name by carving it up. It's a very difficult last name to pronounce.
And you won't do it.
I'm showing some humility here. I'm just being honest. Anyway, it was media night last night at the Super Bowl. It's a very unappealing Super Bowl right now. Like, it'll be a fun game every year. Once the game gets going, people have their prop bets, their bets, the food, friends, beers, whatever. Atlanta is just such a vanilla team that no one really cares about. And
well,
the Patriots,
very vanilla when they start the game.
They're not
damn good. They're
a blast to watch play, but off the field, there's not much appealing about Atlanta. And New England's mastered the ability to be a boring team and to avoid controversy.
Well, remember last year at this time, what we were talking about? It was all controversy, wasn't it?
With Deflategate, and
that was like 2 weeks of nonsense.
Right. Well, that was a couple years ago, I guess, when they were at the Super Bowl. But that's another thing. All these distractions. All of this different stuff. Brady being a friend and, by all accounts, a supporter of Trump. Belichick writing that letter to Donald Trump. Them being caught up in all of these different scandals in terms of Deflategate, Spygate, all that kind of stuff. People always wait for them to finally hit a wall and finally have a difficult time overcoming it. And it never happens with New England. Like, I remember reading from different reporters and different people with inside information earlier in the year, when the Brady-Trump stuff was really heating up and the Belichick-Trump stuff was really heating up, and people were insinuating that this was going to be a big problem within the room. That there were a lot of people in that room that
really...
Well,
wasn't there situations where Trump was reading letters that then they were asked, and they're like, I didn't send that letter.
But it turns out they actually did send it, and Brady wore a Let's Make America Great hat again, all that kind of stuff, which he's allowed to. He's an American. He can do whatever he wants. But the point is, people were saying this is going to lead to the downfall of the Patriots, and it didn't. It doesn't. They don't allow white noise or political beliefs to cause problems.
Belichick always says, all the distractions, all the other noise, put it in your drawer and put it away and just focus. And that's what they do. They don't let that garbage affect what goes on in the locker room or on the field.
Well, and that's the truth. When you talk about athletes being outspoken about different political topics and giving their opinions, I look at it almost like the Hall of Fame debate in terms of championships. If you win a title, I'm going to give you credit for that. I think you deserve credit for winning a title. If you don't, I'm not going to take credit away from you. If you are willing to speak up about your beliefs and speak about different issues in the world, I'll give you credit for that. If you're an athlete and you say, you know what, I'm not as informed or I'd rather not go down that path, I'm not going to criticize you for that. And the truth is, people want to hear from athletes what they want to hear from everyone else. They want to hear their own opinions spewed through the mouths of athletes. Because if Brady came out, who's by all accounts, again, a friend of Trump, I don't know, maybe he voted for Trump, I have no idea, maybe he didn't vote at all. Brady may like the travel ban. Brady may like what's going on right now. He has the right to come out and say that he appreciates that and approves of it. But guess what would happen if he did that? Stick to sports. That's what would come out. Because no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear the other side, the pro-Trump side. They don't want to hear that right now. It's true, Jonas.
His brand power would suffer.
It might.
If he came out and was, like, defending Trump.
But he's allowed to have that opinion, Jonas, as an American.
Of course he is.
He would have a rough go of it.
He would get killed for it.
If he went opposite of Kyle Lowry.
But that's the whole point, though.
I fully support what this man's doing, and I fully support his actions. He would be...
But you're proving my point. People are jumping on Brady right now for not speaking out.
But it's the same thing as Jordan.
No, but the point is, they want him to speak out if he says what they believe in.
That's fair.
They want him to speak out as long as he's anti-Trump. But what if he's pro-Trump? Then what happens? Don't speak, shut up, stick to throwing a football around, you're a dumb jock. And you can't have it both ways, is my point.
Well, what other reaction do you think he would get if he spoke out and he was pro-Trump?
I think a lot of people would probably take him to the woodshed.
No kidding.
But it would not be illegal for him to have that opinion.
But do you think
you at least got to give him credit for being smart enough to understand. I'm not going there. I'm not.
Do you respect that, or would you want him to say?
I think it's actually more courageous for you to speak on your own convictions, regardless of what they are.
Everybody has in every job something that could be career suicide. That would be career suicide.
He's still under center on Sunday night. He's still playing.
I know.
But and he's still going to the Hall of Fame.
That would be 2 years' worth of questions about those comments.
And especially with more stuff continuing to happen.
And that's probably why he said, you know what?
That's what I said. He understands that. It's going to come with the territory, so no thanks.
We'll get into that with Trent Dilfer just after 6 p.m. Get Trent to start teeing up the Super Bowl for us. Why can both teams potentially win this game? And Bob McKenzie will join us at 6:20, and we got a great Maple Leaf giveaway to get to as well. Tune in for that. This is Overdrive on the TSN Go app. All right, don't forget, we've got a great giveaway to get to, a Toronto Maple Leaf prize pack in the 6 p.m. hour. It's a game night tonight. The Leafs are in Dallas. You can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. Puck drop at 8:30, pregame at 7 p.m., missed out on the Grit Grinder earlier this afternoon. You guys want to get after it?
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
I'm going to go with Brandy Love. She sent out the boys from Overdrive a tweet, and she might come on the show if we know the magic word. My guess was pretty please.
I think you're probably in the ballpark, but you never know. I guess we'll wait for a response. We'll see. I don't know. If we get her on, we'll see what happens. Jonas?
I don't know that I can top that. I'm going to go with this. I don't even know how to pronounce his name because I actually haven't heard of him. Yogi Ferrell. He had 19 points last night for the Dallas Mavericks in their win over your Cleveland Cavaliers.
And I will go with LeBron James, who, even though they lost last night, had 23-9-9. He did his work.
That's an average night for
him. And he called out Charles Barkley. Because Barkley's been going at him nonstop, and LeBron is the king. You come at the king, you best not miss. And LeBron threw a grenade at Charles Barkley. He outed him on so many of his personal issues throughout his career and his adult life. It's got basically everyone talking right now. And Barkley responded today by saying, I'm not here to make friends with him. I'm not going to be friends with him. I'm here just to do my job. Okay, that's fine. But LeBron doesn't like the way you've been doing your job. And I think he's been the old, crotchety, cranky, yelling at the cloud type analyst for a couple of years now. It's getting a bit stale. I love Barkley. I find him entertaining. It's the same thing. Young players don't know how to win, don't know how to play. The game sucks. LeBron's always whining. LeBron stepped up. Trent Dilfer in about 10 minutes, Bobby Mack in about 25, and this Maple Leaf prize pack will give that away too. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app.